Okay. Yep. So if you look, so these cards, the great little cards, they're called the She Pack, card deck of the She. And they come from the Lorien Foundation, run by my friend David Spangler. And they're an interesting pack of cards because they basically began as a sort of, as a friend Jeremy going around the country and painting stone circles or monoliths and stone doorways. And he and David had this idea of creating a pack that's connected with the idea of the she, or the fairy beings, or the elven beings, we could say, the beings of the imagination. And that this pack reflects the both the solidity of humanity and the fluidity of the imaginal kind of beings. So basically it's a pack of a series of cards that are stone cards. They're called the Stones and the Dancers. So the idea is you have a little stone circle of your own that you can kind of lay out, and then you have a series of cards and images that are about movement or energy shifting, or and the stones themselves have different kind of qualities. You know, so there's not this one. So we have the image of the knight and the lady here. So you have the sense of the kind of the goddess with the knight who serves her. Or we have an image. What's this one? Or you have the image of the fairy communion. You have the white rose and the red rose, and a stone chalice and a spring of water. Or another image. Oh, that's right. The image of the stone that roots and puts out green leaves. So the whole idea behind this pack is working with, if you like, solidity and fluidity, working with substance and flow. And can be obtained from the Lorien Foundation. But the reason I brought it along today and then decided to use it, because we're you know, in this particular path we're working with these opposites in conjunction. So in a way this pack holds that intention very, very well. We've got all these powerful stones and you know, which really do represent solidity. And then we have all these images that are in between. There's a great image in one of the backs of a man whose body is flesh from the waist up, and then stone beneath it, and is sort of chiseling himself out of the stone. You know, and there's a lot of ambiguous kind of imagery like that that really represents transitional kind of states. We might have to put it right across, actually. Could you pull the other one as well, please? Because it's actually going straight on. That's better. That's the only thing that works when it's at that angle.
So the extension pack. I mean, is the extension pack like the third thing, or would you say that some in the extension pack are the fluidity and
some semi structure as well? This is a complete pack just now, because they developed it in two stages. One, because the extension pack, which there's no longer an extension pack, because it's one thing, came because Jeremy kept getting images from the Grail and Arthurian tradition that he wanted to include. So he then, because they'd already issued, if you like, the first pack, they then issued an add-on, and now they've integrated it into a kind of into one pack. So it's really got the same intention now, really, and the principle, but the principle behind the pack anyway is this whole territory of opposites together, and of the world of imagination and the world of substance coming together and flowing together. I suppose if we look at just before break for lunch in 10 minutes, tea break in 10 minutes. What we've done this afternoon really is we begin by this meditation that is about the journey into the web. We will begin first of all in the body, and once again going into the deep and mysterious aspects of the body. And we go into the sense of being a human being who is the bearer of the hallows. So we are both in our ordinary human shape. We are also the spear bearer, the holder of the grail. We are the living stone, and we receive and bear the sword. So from that place in the meditation, we then feel this longing for the place of peace, the longing for the place that is beyond the opposites. And so we take a very Western journey, the word to the place, to the Isles of the Blessed. And then we come, if you like, to the edge of the land, to the ruined harbour. We go into the world of the inner and imaginal space, where we find the renewed harbour. We find the magical island with the Tower of Pearl. And we travel to the cottage of welcome, where all the stories of mystery are continually being retold. And through the fire in the room of the stories of mystery, we find the straight path, which takes us into through the gate of the gold and silver gate of the opposites in union, and into mystery. And then we're just here. So that's that sequence in the meditation. From there, we then move into working with an image, telling the story of an image, mediating an image into the world. Having been right into the inner, right into the place beyond opposites, having emerged back here, we then speak for an image in whatever way we did. And then we return to the contemplation that we did yesterday, which involves going to the House of Colette. And what's interesting, particularly for the people who did it yesterday as well, is that is a real difference in how you and a much greater sense of it being not my meditation but your meditation. And in a way, you know, what we come back to then really in that sense is the conversation we've just been having, which is about being present with what is. Being present with the dilemmas, or just simply present with something that's not a dilemma, but just it is. So this is the fundamental work somewhere what do we do? We just get present, we notice what is, we allow it to be there. We try not to manipulate as far as we can, but you know, if we do. It's part of the suchness. And then we notice what happens next.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
Thinking about Evagrius Ponticus?
Evagrius Ponticus, yes. Yes.
With that philosophy, I was thinking about how Alexandria and all the good that does get done gets undone, mm-hmm. or ruined or spoiled. You know, what would be the kind of philosophy around that question about, well, what's the point if people are going to just come and trash it?
Well,
because that's in our nature.
Things have to end. I mean, it's actually Tennyson gives us the answer to this in the Mort d'Arthur, when he says that the Camelot has to fall, Arthur has to die, all the work has to be undone, lest one good custom should corrupt the world. The tyranny of goodness. at the point about well, please, so we have these flowerings, and of course they could go better, the ending could go better, but they have to end. You know, if we were living under the hegemony of Alexandria now, so that anything we ever write would have to be sent to Alexandria to receive the official authorization of the great wise place in the world, it would become a great tyranny. You know, things exist for a period of time, for a purpose that is valid for a period of time, and then that, and then its purpose is fulfilled, and the, or its time passes, really, or something else emerges. You know, the challenge of this is the challenge of Julianne of Norwich, really, where she says, all will be, and Bob Marley as well, everything will be all right. All will be well, and all will be well, all manner of things will be well. It's a profoundly challenging teaching, because it says, it's not some things will be well, if you can get away with it, if you can avoid Trumpisms. It says, all things will be well, all manner of things, and all shall be well. So that teaching really cuts absolutely through everything. It can to, you know, and particularly at this time in the world where so many terrible things are happening, the idea that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, is an extraordinarily difficult thing to work with. It's a very challenging thing. But it takes us into a mystery, you see, so we can't, if we try and make ourselves believe that, that just doesn't work at all. Because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think that as a rational thought. You know, how possibly could you believe that as a rational statement? As we watch Trump trotting his way to possibly to becoming president yet again. Or if we look at what Netanyahu is doing in Gaza, if we look at what Putin is doing in Ukraine, if we look at the war in Sudan, you know, there's no rational way we can make ourselves believe that. So what we have to do when we encounter a teaching like that is be with the hope it arouses, and the anger that it arouses, and the futility that it arouses, and then so we have to be with the whole of that process, and that's the participation in the mystery. It's not a silent thing where we just sort of let go. We are. So when I hear, if I hear myself say all will be well, of course part of me thinks that's completely ridiculous. Well, that can't be right.
Just a testament of faith.
Well, I think it's one of these gap posts. It's a dilemma place. So we have to be with. So part of me believes it, in fact. Part of me does have a deep faith in that. Another part of me has deep skepticism around that. So what I have to be with is the truth of that dilemma. Last month, when we were looking at the Holocaust teaching the rabbi who dies in the ghetto, who abandons the idea that anyone is coming to save him because he knows they're not, and yet remains faithful. Well, he is taken through his vague, of course, extreme experiences into a much deeper place of understanding, and the understanding of the mystery of evil. Now that is a deep understanding, and we can't get there until we get there. But and until we get there into that place of understanding, we're with the dichotomy, with the part of us that hopes, with the part of us that despairs. I always think of the women in black when I think about this. Do you know about the women in black? My friend Yvonne, who lives in Jerusalem, was one of the original women in black. The women in black, for those of you who don't know, they are a protest movement, a movement of women who dress in black and who stand out in public places, in places of power, as reproachful witnesses for when governments and institutions are doing terrible things. And they're so powerful, really, because my friend has been doing this all her life, and God knows she's in a difficult place at the moment around what's going on. But to be a woman in black is to embrace both hope and despair. because you embrace the despair, you dress in black, you are the figure that stands out as a witness to the awful things. But the very act of doing that, the very act of being that, is in itself a profound expression of hope and a belief that life can, that the power of witnessing can change things. Mm. So there is a, you know, the, in a way that is the dichotomy, deep dichotomy here, that that we're asked to embrace and to find our own particular way with. Yvonne's is to become a woman in black, and she continues to live that out in circumstances that are in Israel have just got worse and worse over the years. I have a complicated relationship with Israel. I've worked there for 20 years and I've met amazing people, worked with amazing people, seen all kinds of growth within a society that was going to hell, that was getting more and more right-wing, more and more authoritarian, more and more destructive to its neighbours. And so that, you know, eventually I had to stop. For myself I had to stop. But that is the dichotomy of life somewhere here. So what we're asked to do, like the women in black, is to stand with that in whatever way we do. And above all, to trust that in a profoundly interconnected universe, just like the profound interconnections of our own body, no act of intention is valueless. No act of a power, no act is useless. No act, no thought even really, does not travel into mysterious places. Because if we are all cells in the life of the divine, cells in the life of the universe, we are constantly in relationship with all parts of that universe. So each one of our thoughts, acts, words, stances has mysterious and unknown effect. Okay, let's have a break, and let's have a quarter of an hour break, and then I'll bring it all together in the last hour. You'll have a good, for a good journey.